Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinoza with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now let's join our co-hosts, Patricia Arevalo Caro and Alfonso Ruiz, for today's program.
Hello, Imperial Valley. Welcome to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio show brought to you as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. I'm Patricia Arevalo Caro, your co-host for the show. And I'm glad you're tuning in. If you would like to hear any of our shows in Spanish, please tune in on Wednesday mornings at 8 a.m. on Radio Bilingüe 88.7 to listen to our sister show, Expresate. If you'd like to revisit this show or any of our other shows or share a podcast, we'd love for you to do so. Just visit us at kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It and Expresate links on the right side of the page to find a show that interests you. Our radio show calendars, along with information about our various programs and services, are available on our website, which is bhs.imperialcounty.org. Want to reach out to us? We'd love to hear from you. Send us an email to wellnessradio@co.imperial.ca.us. We also offer community service training courses that are open to the public. We're always happy to welcome new faces and new participants. You can call us at 442-265-7442 to find out more about our upcoming classes. Please feel free to stay connected with us on Facebook and Instagram. Give us a like, a care, a follow, or stay up to date on our wellness resources and our events. With that said, let me introduce my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz, and he will introduce you to today's guests.
Hey, Patricia. Thank you. Welcome, everyone. Happy to be here today. We have two really special guests with us today from Imperial County Behavioral Health, specifically from the Children and Adolescent Services Clinic. First introduction goes to Berenice Flint. She's a program supervisor with oversight of the Vista Sense program and the middle school program that many of our community knows as Soaring Hawks. And that's going to be our segment for today. We're going to be talking more about the great services that are offered through the Soaring Hawks program. And also joining us, who is specifically involved in the day-to-day facilitation of the program, is Pedro Sosa, a mental health rehabilitation specialist that is working directly with the children daily in the Soaring Hawks program. And both Berenice and Pedro are going to let us know a little bit about themselves and let us know a lot about this program. It's such a great program and resource for the children of our community. So welcome, Berenice. Welcome, Pedro. We're happy to have you here. How are you guys doing today?
Thank you. Very well. Thank you for having us, and thank you for giving us this opportunity to talk about, as you mentioned, this wonderful program that is offered to our youth. And so we're excited to share all the information that we have about this program so that way the community is better well aware of it.
Thank you, Berenice. Pedro, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hello, everyone. So my name is Pedro, and I've been here with the Soaring Hawks. This will be our third year running, and you know, it's been quite an experience. I have come from Children's Vista Sense, so a little familiar about, you know, the program, and I'm excited to be able to be here and talk a little bit about, you know, my experience here with the Soaring Hawks students and a little bit about behavioral health.
Thank you. Thank you, Pedro. So before we get into the deep dive of these programs, I'm sure our community wants to know more about, you know, who's Berenice, who's Pedro, you know, what are some of the things that you like to do? What keeps you going each day? So tell us a little about you guys and what keeps you driven as in the roles that you are, you know, daily here with behavioral health and within your programs.
I can go first. My name is Berenice. I born and raised in Imperial County. I have been working with this agency, with Behavioral Health Services, going on 23 years in May. So yeah, I was 10 years old when I started.
We all were.
not true, right? But and so my initial goal of going to school and getting a higher education, my goal was to go into law enforcement initially. And so I do have my bachelor's degree in criminal justice. But then I started working, and this is something I recently shared with Pedro and the middle school staff during our unit meeting last week. But I worked at a rehabilitation center, 24-hour rehab center that we had in collaboration with the sheriff's department. And that was about 24 years ago. And so I worked with at-risk youth who were placed in this rehab facility, which was open 24 hours. And most of the adolescents that were placed there were from the San Bernardino area, and they were court mandated to be placed in this facility. And so in my day-to-day interactions with them, I established and I developed great relationships with these youth, and it was a complete eye opener to hear about their life experiences back home and how it wasn't as easy as I thought it would be to just follow rules, right? Go to school and do well in the community or do good things in the community. And so that really changed the trajectory of my career. And from that point forward, I was like, rather than locking them up, I want to help them do better and find resources to pull them through, to pull them out of the places where they were. And so that's how I started in my mental health path. And so 23 years later, here I am. I am motivated by seeing the impact that our agency does with the programs and the services that we provide, seeing and hearing about cases where not only children benefit, but families as a whole benefit from and can really change people's lives. And so that really motivates me. Outside of work, I love concerts. I go to several concerts every year. The last one I went to was last month, which I absolutely love. So if you haven't heard of the group Il Volo, which is an Italian three-men group who sing modern opera, absolutely amazing.
Nice.
And so I save up money to go to concerts.
Awesome, awesome. Bet it. Berenice, and you know, Berenice. For those of you that don't know, I do call her Bette because Bette and I work closely together here in the children's department. Thank you for letting us know. You know, I think it's really great to hear that, you know, early on in your career, you know, three years, 23 years this May, I think is what you said, right? So that's amazing. What a huge accomplishment, milestone. But even early on, you realized, from what I heard, prevention is key, right? So moving towards the side of prevention, and I think that's, you know, this program offers that opportunity to many of our youth. And transitioning over to Pedro, you know, I want to know a little bit more about you too, Pedro. Like, what keeps you driven every day and what led you here to the children's department and working with the youth that you do?
Oh, yes. So my name is Pedro, and I've been here with the county for the past 8 years. So I did get my bachelor's degree in liberal studies. I wanted to be a teacher to begin with. However, I did have the opportunity to work for as a teacher's aide through alternative education, and I was placed in different areas like the juvenile hall, the Esther Huff School. So there I got to, you know, meet a lot of children, you know, the kind of population that we're working with, you know, the children, youth. And, you know, it was always really difficult for me to see them, you know, in those type of situations because of the consequences that they receive for their actions, right? So, you know, I began to explore a little bit about, you know, what is it that led them to do all these types of behaviors. And of course, you know, I found out most of them were, you know, they didn't have any like parental support, or they were placed in group homes and all that. So they didn't have the support that was needed, right? To kind of guide them and route them into making those good choices. So then I began to, you know, explore, and I got to know behavioral health. Actually, one of my good friends kind of pointed me to this direction, and I applied, and I've been here. I was placed in Vista Sands, where I started in Brawley. Working with Andrew, and he was a really good mentor and kind of guided me and gave me a lot of resources and information needed to help this youth, right? Then, you know, I started, I was hired as a full-time, and then I moved on to the specialist in the El Centro Vista Sands, and there I got, you know, to work more hands-on with the population and providing the interventions and seeing them grow mentally and, you know, mentally and then developing, right, as they grow and using the skills that we facilitated during our group intervention. So I got to witness a lot of that changes, a lot of the positive behavior, especially when meeting with administrators and teachers and saying like, oh my God, like this kid is, you know, went from making the worst choices or always getting into trouble into now, you know, redirecting himself using the skills that you're providing and thinking about, you know, what kind of consequences are they getting themselves into, right? So there, you know, that's my motivation to keep on going, especially with these types of population. Now it's a different challenge because we're working with the teenage years. It's one of the most difficult times, you know, that these kids go through their adolescence. So, you know, at the beginning, it was kind of like trial and error. You know, that's the stuff that I work with in Vista Sands did not work correctly, so I had to go back and kind of strategize and see what worked, what didn't work, and then from there move on, right? The difference is, you know, from Vista Sands and here is that these are voluntary services, and they have to be engaged and they have to be motivated to keep on coming. So they have to like, you know, our sessions, and that's something that we've gotten from our kids, right? We always, you know, want to see, follow up and see how we're doing, and you know, most of the kids like and enjoy our sessions because they feel they're in a safe spot where they can share and really open up. And it's not only them going through, you know, their emotions. It's kind of like a group thing. And we also like it because they do a lot of like peer-to-peer learning. Awesome. So that's what I've seen. You know, that's what keeps me going. In other words, you know, outside of the work, you know, I like to stay home and relax. You know, however, I do have a 5-year-old that is really outgoing, and she likes to go out all the time, you know, especially to San Diego, theme parks and all that stuff. So, you know, but hey, she likes it, and I'm all for it. You know, it makes her happy and makes me happy seeing her happy. You know, that's awesome. That's what I like
that's
to
awesome.
Do.
You know, I think as a fellow parent, I think our kids sometimes push us through boundaries that we didn't even know we can break, right? So hear a lot of passion from both of you guys. And, you know, just to put it out there, you know, 31 years of combined experience between Berenice and Pedro, you know, 23 years in May for Berenice and 8 years for Pedro. I mean, that's amazing. You know, we have a great team here, leadership, that's really providing the level of intervention necessary and engaging, right? Like you mentioned, Pedro, the service is voluntary, and the adolescent population that you're working with daily is one of the most challenging to engage at times, because I remember being a teenager, and maybe all of us here do. Looks different for all of us, but there's challenges regardless of what our life looked like during the teenage years. It's just part of the change, right, in development. So thank you both for sharing a little bit about yourselves and what brought you here to this agency and to the Soaring Hawks program.
You know, and we want to really touch on what is the program. We see middle school behavioral and educational program, Soaring Hawks. So what is the program? How did it come to be? How did we have the privilege of, like Alfonso said, having 31 years of combined experience, just the two of you? Now there's other people in the program, so there's probably close to 50 years of combined experience that you are giving us and sharing with us and sharing with our kids to help nurture them and help them grow and make good choices, you know. So how did this happen? How did this come to be?
So the Middle School Behavioral Educational Program really came about our agency, our management, our leaders listening to the community and the needs of the community. The program started as an innovation program because the community was really looking for a program that was specific for adolescents, for young adolescents. So, for instance, the Vista Sounds program is intended for the population of children ages 7 to 12. And then we had the ALP program, which is the Adolescent Habilitative Learning Program, that was designed to work specifically with high school age adolescents, right? Junior high to, freshmen to seniors. And so there was really nothing available necessarily for our junior high school aged adolescents. And so the people spoke, the community spoke, and our agency leaders listened and gathered the information, and between the experience of such successful programs that have been both the Vista Sounds program and the ALP program, right, which were programs that have been running for over 30 years. So they combined or gathered the experience from these programs to develop what is now the Soaring Hawks. As Pedro mentioned, this program has been up and running for about 3 years. So really, this is one of our babies, one of our children and adolescent outpatient services babies, because it's one of our younger programs. But it has been a very successful program thus far, despite, you know, the fact that it's very new and as Pedro mentioned, challenges that have come along the way. But having the right people leading the program and working the program every day really has made a difference. Both Pedro, who is the program specialist, and we also have Alicia Aguirre, who is our mental health rehab technician, who is also provides services and facilitates groups. Having both of them in program really has made a huge impact and a huge has been making it the success that so far this program has been. Now, as far as the program itself, what it is. In a nutshell, this program provides services and supports to adolescents who are impacted by significant mental health challenges that prevent them from maximizing to their full potential, both at home, school, and in the community. And typically the students that are referred to our program are those that are experiencing symptoms related to anxiety, emotional and or behavioral distress, anger or depression, which may impair their ability to learn and succeed, again, at home, at school, in the community. Those are our target populations. We provide services for students in both general and special education services. And each student obviously has its own individual needs. And so we are very much aware of that. And so we work in collaboration with the schools, with the school that the adolescent, they belong to make sure that they get everything that they need, both mental health and educational wise. One of the important factors that we want to make sure that we address is that students that are referred to the program do have to be part of behavioral health services. So they must be assessed by our agency to ensure that they meet the access criteria and determine services that are medically necessary, so that way they can receive this service. Also, if they are already our clients, they're receiving services, whether that is medication support, they're receiving therapy, or they're receiving case management, anyone who is working with them, any case coordinator can make the referral to the Soaring Hawks if they feel that they could potentially meet the criteria for this service. And so it is open to anybody, any adolescent who's attending school in any school district within the county. The school obviously has to be in support of this referral. And one important factor to also consider is that if we have a student who meets the criteria for this program, but they're attending school in Calexico, they're attending junior high in Hopeville, in Imperial, in Brawley, and where else? What other city am I missing?
El Centro?
El Centro, any junior high school within the Imperial County. If they do meet the criteria and everybody's in agreement, school, caregivers, clients, they do have to be registered at Heber Junior High School. So they will be attending Heber Junior High full time in order to be able to participate in the groups that the Soaring Hawks program offers.
So that, I mean, that is just awesome what you guys are doing. And, you know, the need was found of that middle school, junior high school need. And, you know, you all fixed it. You know, you guys stuck a program in, well, not stuck a program, but put a program in, you know, got the curriculum together, got the idea, got it through the schools, because we do have to get approval from the schools, got it through there, got it approved to fix that need that was there for these younger folks, you know, that need this assistance. Because obviously, you know, they need the assistance. They need the assistance to help them, you know, move forward, which is really terrific. And you know, you were saying that there's a mental health rehab technician, which is a case manager. And what other disciplines are there and involved in the school or on site?
So in addition to the mental health rehab specialist, we have a, which is full time. We also have a full time rehab technician, which is a case manager. And then we have a part time mental health rehabilitation technician and a clerical staff member. That's who, those are the four positions that carry on the program.
Wow. And so the program runs from what time to what time during the day?
So adolescents that attend junior high, they go to their regular periods, right? Whether it's their general ed periods or if they have accommodations, their special education, they attend all of their periods, get their core curriculum or classes, and they do have groups from 1:15 to 2:45, which is a period where they all join together and they have group. They also do check-ins in the morning before they go to their first period. They do check-ins with Pedro and Alicia just to see how they're doing, if there's anything that that's bothering them that happened in the morning or the day prior that they need to process. They have that ability to be able to talk it over with Pedro and Alicia, so that way they could have a more successful day. And as I mentioned, then they go through their periods, and then from 1:15 to 2:45, they have group sessions. And wow. I think Wednesdays is a little different because it's a short days. And so groups are earlier or are in the morning. Anything else, Pedro, that I might have missed?
Yeah, so just going back to, you know, the Heber School does an awesome job in arranging their periods or their to get their core classes, as they call them here. So they could get their math, science, and, you know, the core classes that they do need. And then towards the end of the day, they come with us and we take the spot of two periods for them. That's 1:45 to 2:45, and then 1:15 to 2:45, sorry. And then Wednesdays is minimum day. Again, they attend all their core classes in the morning, and by 11:08 to 12:15, that's when they come with us. And they do, it's mandatory for them to do their check-ins again, you know, just in case they, are struggling with emotions or, you know, having some conflicted times with peers or teachers, you know, we allow them the time to express themselves, to identify their feelings, how their body feels and reacts to those types of situations. And then we coach them if they needed to be coached. You know, we remind them to use the coping skills that we learn here, relaxation techniques. And then, you know, we encourage them to go back into their classes. But yes, that is the main difference here with us, is that we provide them the opportunity to seek services, and we try to do them, you know, meet with them as soon as we can. So we can, again, debrief and guide them into using the skills that they're learning here with us, practice them every day, right? The skills, the relaxation techniques or whatnot to help them get through the day.
That is terrific. I mean, I think any student could use something like that. I mean, we could use something like that sometimes, you know. And for you guys to take that extra minute or that extra 2 minutes just to say, hey, how you doing? That can make somebody's day. You know, somebody's there. Somebody cares. Somebody's listening. Somebody's got their back. Somebody just, you know, wants to see how they're doing, you know, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, a lot of people don't have somebody to say good morning to them, or how's your day going, or how's your day been, or whatever, because, you know, just life, whatever is happening to them. But I so appreciate that you're doing for these kids, because these kids are our future. You know, these are our future leaders. These are our future, you know, mayors, presidents, you know, supervisors, whatever that they're going to be one day. And they're going to be, you know, in a position to make good decisions because of the good decisions you helped them with. And so appreciative of that. It is time to take a quick break. We have gone through our first segment, and so we're going to take a few minute break, and we will be right back with your radio show, your wellness radio show. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. or log on to KXORadio.com for a 5-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
So welcome back, Imperial Valley. Welcome to your weekly wellness radio show. Today we have the pleasure of speaking with Berenice Flint, who's a program supervisor with Imperial County Behavioral Health Children's Services, and Pedro Sosa, who is a mental health rehabilitation specialist, also with Imperial County Behavioral Health Children's Services. And we're talking about the Middle School Behavioral and Educational Program, Soaring Hawks. And with that said, Alfonso, I think you have a few questions for our guests.
Yeah, thank you, Patricia. Welcome back, everyone. So, you know, we just wanted to continue with the amazing conversation we're having about the middle school program. And, you know, we're talking a little bit earlier about the criteria and what it requires to be a part of this amazing program. But, you know, had a thought about that and wanted to know more about goals. You know, what are some of the goals that are in place for this program and for the students that are participating?
Our goals, we have 4 main goals, and of course, I'll be talking about those, but then there's also individual goals, right, that each student coming into the program has. But really, our 4 main focuses as far as goals are concerned, one is to maximize students' effective functioning both at home, school, and also in the community. So we want them to thrive, but they have challenges. The whole purpose of them attending program is to gain skills so that way they're able to maximize their functioning in all areas of life. Our second goal is to provide daily on-site structured interventions that meet the students' individualized academic and mental health needs. So again, providing them with the skills that they can learn and implement to be able to better manage their mental health. The third one is to provide services in the least restrictive setting. And then lastly, to provide services that are client-centered and family-focused that meet the unique needs of each student. So just provide support and give them the skills that they need to be able to better manage their mental health challenges I wish we had a magic wand and completely erase, right, all of their symptoms of anxiety or depression or anger. You know, we don't have it. I wish we did, but we don't. But the best we could do is provide them with the skills that they need so that they're able to manage them. Because all of these emotions that I previously mentioned, we all have them, right? We all experience them. But the important thing is how to manage them is really what the goal is. And because as Patricia mentioned, right, we have these adolescents are our future leaders, our future mental health workers, our future teachers, and so on and so forth. And so we want to make sure that they are emotionally intelligent to grow and flourish as adults, and send them out in the community to reintegrate. So those are some of our goals.
All right. Thank you, Berenice, for sharing that with us. You know, maximizing their effective functioning in the home, school, community, emotional intelligence, all of these are so important because, like you mentioned, once we reach adulthood, we have to be able to utilize these areas of functioning as individuals to be successful. And so in order to meet these goals, I want to know more, and I think our community would benefit from knowing more about, you know, what a day looks like in the middle school program. What does it look like for you, Pedro, when you're there in the classroom setting with the students? What are some of the supports that you receive? Let's just do a deep dive in that.
Yeah, for sure. So a day-to-day here for a student of attending the Soaring Hawks would be, you know, they have to come in and check in with us, right, at the beginning of session, and that is just to provide more support and, of course, how Patricia said it, validate those feelings, right, because a lot of these kids are looking forward and sometimes they're lacking the validation of the emotion. So just by them knowing that they can trust or they have a person that they can trust and express, you know, their feelings without being judged, it means a lot to them, right? And you know, our job is to kind of guide them and provide them and maybe review the skills that we learned last week or yesterday, you know, or whatnot, and just kind of for them to practice it, because one of the goals is, you know, for them to learn the material, yes, but also be able to use it, utilize it every day, right? That's the key part. You know, if you know it, you know it, but if you don't use it, you know, it's never going to go nowhere. So that's something that we always encourage and motivate them to do, right? Use the skills that you learn here, and you're going to see what a difference it makes, right? So, you know, they come here, we of course focus on the positive, give them a reason to look forward to something. And sometimes that is very difficult and challenging for them to even express, you know, what they're looking forward to, because a lot of kids, they don't know, right? So we kind of like, you know, give them different scenarios, and, you know, we detect, you know, sometimes when they tell us something, it's like, okay, so you're looking forward to maybe going home and, you know, going to the store with your mom or hanging out with your friends, you know, or whatnot. So we kind of assist them in identifying those types of good feelings, right? And then so we've seen that the turn where, you know, they come here and sometimes they're conflicted about how they're feeling. Sometimes they don't even know how they're feeling or what emotions they're having. So we kind of provide them with a lot of visuals that we have here. We have our mood thermometer that we use, and we kind of help them, you know, recognize their emotions. And then we provide the positive feedback, positive praise, you know, to get them going. So they would go to their periods, first, second, you know, English, math, history, whatever it is that they have to do. But, you know, most of the times, you know, a kid or a student with anxiety or depression, sometimes they have a lot of these internal feelings that they just come about, right? And then so they're in class and they have all these feelings, mixed emotions, and they're thinking about something that happened in the past or something that, you know, they foresee like in their future, right? They're like, oh, like I'm going to get in trouble for this, or I did this. And so that's where, you know, we see the client or the student kind of struggling, you know, to stay focused, right? So a lot of times we always encourage them, hey, you know what, if you find yourself in that type of situation, ask, you know, raise your hand and ask for help. You know, this is why we're here, to provide you the support, to let's go ahead and find out what's the conflict, what's the root of the problem, and then we'll address it with the coping skills. You know, sometimes it's just they need the validation. And so a lot of these students, you know, they know that we always encourage them to communicate and to ask for help, right? And a lot of these kids, you know, they raise their hand and they tell the teacher, you know what, I need to go see Pedro or Alicia or somebody. I need help with my emotions. And, you know, the staff here in Heber, they do an awesome job and they try to look for us. You know, they go to the office and then the office tries to look for us, you know. But this, let's say sometimes we are not here in the office because we have other obligations like home visits or, you know, we're doing school visits or we're out of the office. So, you know, we do have additional support here in school, and that is the teacher from the Soaring Hawks and the teacher's aide for the Soaring Hawks that kind of step in when we're not available. And so what they do, they stay with the student, and they, you know, provide them a support, right, and sustain, like maybe they feel overwhelmed in the classroom, so they kind of separate them and they put them like one-on-one with that teacher. And then, you know, as soon as we get here, we contact them, and then they send us the student over, and then we get to work with them one-on-one, providing the interventions and the coping skills. And then, of course, we always try to encourage them to go back to class and, you know, to try their best. And if they need more additional support, then we're always, you know, available for them. And so that gives them, you know, the opportunity to say, okay, yes, I'm going to try. I'm going to use my coping skills. I'm going to practice, you know, what is it that I need to do to manage my emotions, regulate my emotions, and then just try their best, right? So that's what we try to do, try to motivate them, try to, you know, provide them with the skills they need in order for them to be successful here in class and in school.
Wow, that's amazing. Pedro, I can tell that you're really passionate about what you do. I mean, it just flows naturally. So I think that I'm hearing trust a lot, right? Trust, I think, is one of those agents for change, and establishing that rapport, that connection with the children. It's so important. I also hear that you guys are working like a team there at the school. You know, you have the support of the teachers, the administration, and your colleagues, right? The other mental health rehab technicians that are there. And together, you guys are really helping meet the needs of the children to maximize their functioning. Those daily check-ins, Patricia mentioned it earlier, so vital for any one of us, right? Just to do the daily check-in. And I think of even outside of mental health and organizations like Walmart, Target, you know, they do their daily check-in. And I want to say even Walmart, like early in the morning, they get in a huddle and they can say, Walmart, right? And they go off, they do their thing. That's what I'm seeing, I'm envisioning when you're talking about these daily check-ins and how they really prepare the students for the rest of their day, right? And if there's something that comes their way, they know they can ask for Pedro, they can ask for Alicia and the rest of the team. And, you know, just out of curiosity, when you're talking to me, I'm also thinking about the movie Inside Out 2. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It sounds a lot of like what the little girl's going through in early adolescence, right? Like these emotions are coming and not even knowing how to process it. Like, what is this that I'm feeling? This is weird. This is different. And sometimes the way we process and it comes out is through a behavior that maybe wasn't there before, right? So thank you, Pedro, for sharing that with us. Just out of curiosity also, the mood thermometer. What is that mood thermometer?
So it's a visual that we have here, and we kind of always encourage the students to use it. And that is, you know, to see their level of energy, right? Sometimes they have low level of energy. Sometimes they have high level of energy. So we give them like examples of emotions, and we kind of help them, you know, identify the feeling or emotion they're having. Like I say, you know, there's a lot of students that don't even know what a feeling is or an emotion is, right? So they just, and we see that at the beginning when we do our mood check-ins, because we also do our mood check-ins before session starts at 1:15, right? Just to see how they're doing and to see if they need any additional support or guidance before, to make it just more successful day mm-hmm. for them. And so when they first start, they're like, I don't know. And it's not that they're being, you know, opposition or not wanting to participate. It's just they simply don't know, right? So we have a visual for them where they get to say like, okay, we have high level energy, low level energy. What is your mood like? And then we have like several emotions that kind of, and we read them off sometimes, and they're like, you know, a lot of the times it's like the relaxed or happy emotion that they're having, right? Okay. It's really rare. Yes, we do see some sadness or some sometimes like frustrated or angry. And so, you know, we also give them the opportunity to share. And that is if they want to share, right? We're not, they're not obligated to share. But, you know, as a group, we like to hear what's going on, because that way it also helps them say like, hey, I'm not the only person dealing with this type of emotion. My other peers are also sharing the same emotion. And that's where we like to see like the peer-to-peer learning, you know, like, yeah. Oh, like, you know, I have that feeling too. And of course we always say like, hey, we have all those feelings every day, even facilitators, even us as adults, right? We have to go through all those emotions. The neat thing here is that we are going to be able to help you and regulate those emotions, so you don't get those consequences that, you know, nobody likes, right? So we always try to promote, again, the positive thinking and the self-regulation, you know, and of course, validating all those emotions so they know it's a normal feeling. However, they have to be able to manage it to get those natural or logical consequences that they receive.
Wow.
Go ahead, Patricia.
That is just so cool because, you know, we don't sometimes, as the general public, don't understand what some of our youth or some of our kids are going through. And so by you explaining this and telling us, because sometimes we take things so for granted and we don't understand that people may have some problems, they may have some issues, and they need help finding that inner anger or that inner calm or that inner and label it and say, you know, I'm feeling anger, I'm feeling, and by doing this, I can now help myself feel calm. And that is so awesome that you guys can do that and that you can teach that, because it's hard to teach those things sometimes. So thank you again for all that you're doing out there. And it has come time for our next break. These last 15 minutes went by super, super fast, and we will be back with another 15 minutes of Let's Talk About It with Berenice Flint, Pedro Sosa, and my co-host and I, Alfonso Ruiz. So we'll see you back in just a couple of minutes.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXORadio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, Imperial Valley. Welcome back to the last segment of your weekly wellness radio show, Let's Talk About It, brought to you as a community service by Imperial County Behavioral Health. Today, we have the pleasure of speaking with Berenice Flint, who's a program supervisor for the Imperial County Behavioral Health Children's Services, and Pedro Sosa, who is a mental health rehabilitation specialist, also for the Children's Department of Imperial County Behavioral Health. And we are talking about the Middle School Behavioral and Educational Program, Soaring Hawks. If you've missed any part of this, you can always log on to kxoradio.com and go into our podcast and listen to a podcast or the show in its entirety. So with that said, Alfonso's got some great questions that we're going to ask our guests in this last segment of Let's Talk About It.
Thank you, Patricia, Berenice, Pedro. Thank you for giving us a great overview of the middle school program, the Soaring Hawks program. You know, something that we've talked a lot about is what it looks like in the school setting, what it looks like in that classroom setting, the supports that you're offering the children that we're serving. But something that we know about behavioral health is that we work as a multidisciplinary team, right? All hands on deck kind of approach, right? So the children that you're working with in the school setting are likely open to other services within the outpatient clinics. And you as a rehab specialist, Pedro, and your colleagues, the rehab technicians, from what we were talking about, you know, prior to the show coming back online, was how you guys also work with the parents. And so I think it's so important for the parents of our community and the community as a whole to know, what is another component of the Soaring Hawks program when it comes to the involvement that you have with the families?
Yes. So when we first get the case, you know, assigned to us, you know, we do our assessment and evaluation, and there we go over the criteria protocol for the soaring hawks, right? And with that, you know, we do have to have home visits weekly, preferably home visits. And also we have to be able to engage and parent, of course, being in agreement to complete our parenting class, which is the parents reach and a shift through empowerment strategies. And there, you know, we provide, the parent with, education and, communication skills and how to better handle, conflicts between the student and parent, right? I always like to share with my parents, you know, that it is important, you know, that not only the client has to make all these changes, you know, it also comes from home and the support they receive at home. So if they want change, then that means they have to be in agreement to also consider changing some of the behaviors that are displayed at home from parent, right? So, you know, we do have weekly, biweekly home visits, and that is to keep within the fidelity of the praxis model, to go over and also educate parents in advocating for their kids, right? That is, you know, if they need additional resources from school, advocating for them at school, and also seeking other services through behavioral health if needed. If I get a case and, you know, I see the need of maybe therapy or medication support, that is something that I will educate the parent. And of course, all the services are voluntary, so they would have to be in agreement to continue, you know, exploring those types of services. You know, with that, you know, we gather all the information and then we present it during our multidisciplinary team meeting, where we invite the referring school, the hosting school. And depending if the student is receiving special education, we always like to invite a representative from SELPA to be there present. And then we make the determination as a group, as a team, to see what is the best treatment for this individual.
Okay, great.
And if I can interject.
Yeah, go ahead.
Very important. I think Pedro addressed it very, very well. But to highlight the importance of the fact that the Soaring Talk staff cannot do it alone, right? They do require, and the clients themselves, the adolescents themselves, they can't do it alone. They do need the support of the family. And I like to refer the multidisciplinary approach as like a car, like a vehicle. The treatment is the body, right? Is the vehicle. The client is one of the wheels. The parent is the caregiver is the other wheel. The behavioral health staff is the third wheel, and the school is the fourth wheel. And so in order for the vehicle, the treatment, to be successful, to move forward, to meet the goals, they all have to be working together. If we have a flat tire, the car does not work. If the parent is not doing their part, we're not going to get very far. If the client is not putting forth the effort, again, it's like having a flat tire. The vehicle is not going to move forward. And so the participation and the cooperation of everybody involved is really determinant of how successful the client will be in their treatment.
Wow. What a great visual, Veronica. That's so, I like that, you know, because I can easily see, yeah, it makes sense. If parents not there, that's one of the tires that might be, you know, out of air pressure. We're not going to move forward, right? And from what I'm hearing, the services are great, right? But it's only as good as what's reinforced also in the home setting. Because like we talked about earlier, one of the goals is for the child to be self-sufficient in school, home, and in the community setting, right? So that home component is so important. And Pedro, you're telling us that the commitment for parents is weekly or biweekly home visits from yourself or one of your colleagues, the other rehab technicians. And Praxis, if you could tell us in like a very quick overview, like what is the Praxis model and like how many sessions do parents participate in for this model, if you remember, and if you don't, you know, just give us a brief overview.
the model is just to assist parent and you know, better support the student when they're receiving the treatment, right? Again, you know, it goes by the communication, right? The styles of communication that the parent needs to also be aware of. And then advocating for their student or their kid in school, right? If additional support is needed from school. Also, it gives them a little bit of education on what is it the diagnosis, what you know, why is the behaviors they're seeing, the symptoms they're seeing, and then also it helps them create some sort of routine and structure at home that also goes hand in hand with our group interventions and the school, right? Because, you know, when the student comes here to school, they are provided with the structure and daily routine. When they go into our session, into our group interventions, they also have a structure and routine. So now we want that to also to be implemented at home, right? They also give them information, I believe, into like creating a motivation, right? That is using a reward chart, you know, setting goals, little small achievable goals that they can do to kind of provide that positive motivation that they're lacking. So we go and we explore different, you know, ways of praising the student. And of course, we always try to educate parents on focusing on the positive, right? Because these kids are always being judged. These kids are labeled, you know, at school, being defiant, not listening to rules, not completing tasks. So any little thing that the student does, we want to make sure we focus on the positive and provide that positive feedback so they can stay motivated and engaged and wanting to proceed with the treatment.
Absolutely. The reinforcement is key, right? That positive reinforcement that we're heading in the right direction. The changes in behavior are something that we're really working on and appreciating, not only us as a treatment team, but really parents, right? And those that they're working with in the community, in the school setting. Interacting with is a better word. So thank you for giving us that overview, Pedro. And we're close to the end. Patricia, I know that there was something that we were going to discuss, and it has to do with successes, right? 3 years in. I'll let you take this one away, Patricia.
All righty. Yeah. And what I always love to hear are success stories, because there's a lot of them. I know you guys have. And, you know, we have to be kind of mindful of, you know, what we say, because this is a small valley, but we want to see if there's anything that you can share, anything that you would like to say, any kind of story, because those always, I know for me, I love to hear the feel good stories, and there's numerous, because like Alfonso said, you're 3 years in, so I know there's a bunch. If there's one that comes to your mind that you feel that you could share, that would be so awesome, or two.
Yes, I can recall one, and this is a student from last year. This student came in. He was very anxious, a lot of anxiety, kind of sheltering, isolating, not wanting to talk to the opposite sex. And then so, you know, when he was placed here in groups, we like to see, you know, everybody bond together and help out each other. Like I say, you know, the peer-to-peer learning. So there, you know, we went from seeing this kid isolating, not talking, or getting even just hearing him stuttered when talking to my coworker, you know, and just not knowing what to say. Towards the end, you know, he was able to ask questions, to participate more, to engage more in session, you know, and manage that anxiety, because I always tell them, you know, you gotta manage it, you know, you gotta make sure you handle those emotions, to be able to be successful. And just overall, just seeing that the beginning, that shy kid versus the end of it, you know, where this kid was asking for help, communicating, now having conversations with other peers in the group, and just, it was just an awesome experience. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I had the parent reach out to me. I got a phone call from her, and just wanting that my student was looking forward to talk to me, to let me know how successful he has been in high school and how much of the interventions and the coping skills that he's been using has making him feel more comfortable, more outgoing in the community. So that was a neat experience that I got to witness and share and listen to my previous student, you know, share with me and how he's been using all these strategies and coping skills to manage the emotions, where he is now, you know, playing in the soccer league and using everything that he can to ask for himself. And now even like he shared with me talking to other girls and meeting other girls, right? Before this, like, he wouldn't want to talk to any other girls. So now he's, you know, he's out there and he's more outgoing. You know, he said he's being recruited by, he likes to play a sport, and he's being recruited by other sports out of the county. So he's going out of the county in tournaments and just being really outspoken too. And, you know, if he needs help with his academics, you know, asking for help, the teachers, administrators, and counselors and all that. So I found it was really neat. And I just felt really good hearing this little kid that, you know, when we got him, he was really shy. And now it's like totally opposite. And that's, you know, one of the stories that I just had recently found, you know, because the parent wanted him to talk to me. So that was pretty neat. That was a pretty neat experience.
That is awesome. You know, because we can stop to think that child's life could have gone a very different way, you know, and because of your interventions and because of you guys' heart too, because it does take a lot of heart to do what you're doing. You know, because sometimes the situations can be difficult. And, you know, to get past that and to think, you know, this is for the greater good. I'm, you know, I'm helping this student. I'm helping this child be successful in life. And, you know, this, you know, we never know that this person may be the next famous baseball player or whatever. I mean, we never know because the other thing is that, you know, you helped them regulate their emotions so that they can be successful, because, you know, if you have somebody who is, you know, doesn't feel like comfortable getting out in front of an audience, you know, it's going to be hard to play a game, you know, with a bunch of people looking at you or, you know, the things that go along with playing sports and things like that, because you know, sometimes you might get some booing and stuff like that. And to be able to say, okay, this is just something that's happening, but I can get past this, and that you guys helped him or her work through these emotions so that they could be just a little bit more, they'd be successful in their life. That is so heartwarming. And I love to hear those kind of stories. So this is bringing us to the end of our third segment and to the end of speaking with Berenice Flint and Pedro Sosa. But before we leave, I want to make sure that we give our listening audience the phone numbers and how to contact you all in case you're interested or, you know, want to hear a little bit more about the program in depth. So what are some good numbers that people can contact the program?
So to access services in general, they can call the following numbers, and they are area code 442-265-1525, or they can call the 1-800-817-5292. Again, that's just for to access our services in general. But if anybody that's listening has specific questions that they maybe we didn't answer during this this radio show or during this interview, they can definitely call me, and I'd be more than happy to answer any additional questions regarding the referral process. My number is area code 442-265-7353. And the number again, area code 442-265-7353. I'll be more than happy to answer any calls related to any questions regarding the Soaring Hawks program.
Awesome. Well, that brings us to the end of our show. And thank you, Berenice Flint, Program Supervisor for Children's Services, and Pedro Sosa, Mental Health Rehab Specialist with Children's Services, both for Imperial County Behavioral Health. On behalf of my co-host, Alfonso Ruiz, and myself, we thank you for tuning in and listening to the Middle School Behavioral Educational Program, Soaring Hawks, today, and we hope you have a great rest of your week. Thank you, and bye-bye.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230 and each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio. This program features weekly community mental health issues on your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Service, Leticia Plancarte-Garcia, Director. Our co-hosts for today's program were Patricia Arevalo-Caro and Alfonso Ruiz. Thank you for listening.